Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. It's a special show today with an invitado de lujo. It's our episode numero uno on YouTube. Hasn't been exactly overnight, but Troy King, our buen amigo, has seen his star rise in the fantasy industry in the past year. He's written for several fantasy sites, become a regular on several regular guest on several podcasts, including as one of the hosts of Fantasy Football Confidential. His work with Photoshop has become legendary, and it makes for some really creative tweets. It's caught some attention of so many people, as we'll find out about. But most importantly, he's a husband and father, great guy, down-to-earth person, as I've met in this space. He's given me some great advice, and I'm glad, again, I'm glad to call him mi buen amigo. Let's welcome in el señor Troy King. Bienvenidos, Troy.
What's up, man? How you doing? That's one hell of an intro. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you inviting me on this pod. I appreciate our friendship and interactions, and I'm ready to get started.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know what? Let's talk about getting started. You know, when did it all start for you? The love for the NFL, the Dolphins, fantasy football. How close was it? And do you remember the first player you ever drafted in fantasy?
Whew. I do not remember the first player I ever drafted in fantasy. I'll start off with that. But I, ever since birth, because my dad, my family, we're big Dolphins people, right? So I grew up into the fanhood. I was born in Miami, raised in Fort Lauderdale. So my family always diehard Dolphins, right? And as a kid, I didn't appreciate them as much. I really didn't start appreciating football probably till like late high school. That's when I really started like, okay, like, I knew about football. I've like played it before, but in terms of like following the NFL, late high school is when I really like got into it and passionate about it and like actually caring what the Dolphins record was, right? As growing up, I can always tell my, like, my mom and dad were in a bad mood because the Dolphins didn't do well. You know, obviously the household was very different versus when they did well on Sundays. So they've always been part of my life. And in terms of fantasy, so I started fantasy really back like 2014, 2015, because for a long time, I wasn't really interested in fantasy. I thought I was kind of nerdy. I didn't really have any interest. I'm like, and also I didn't like the idea of rooting for other teams. I'm like, hey, I'm a Dolphins fan. I only want to root for the Dolphins. So pretty much what happened was it started as a workly, like, hey, Troy, we want you to be part of it. And then I was part of it and I realized, you know, I was pretty good. Actually, awesome. Sorry. I did a work league and a family league at the same time, right? My family league I did extremely well in, and then my work league was a little tougher, right? I had some competition, and I'm like, but I realized I was decent at it, and then I fell in love with the game, and then it's kind of history from there, man, and look, here we are today.
Well, speaking of the Dolphins, are you like Darius Rucker? Do they make you cry occasionally?
Oh, see, I love, you know, I love that song.
I do too.
Hootie and the Blowfish, yeah. They do, oh. Recently, they haven't made me cry, but pretty much for my entire life, yes, they've made me cry. We've been bad for a long time. You know, we only had a couple of, you know, like interesting, memorable seasons, right? 2017, 2008, one of those seasons that I could think of where we either made a play, we made it to the playoffs, right? You know, we got bumped early. Those are the most recent memories. Besides that, like, you know, early 90s Dolphins, you know, I was a kid, so I didn't get to appreciate those as much.
I got to a few years older than you. I remember the Marino years. I remember the Marino explosion. I mean, he's forever my all-time favorite quarterback. One of my best friend gave me a little portrait of Marino that I you know still cherish. So he's my guy. Look, love number 13. So let's talk about last year. About the, you know, a little more. Let's go back 14 months. Pandemic's happening. Some people are beginning to binge watch TV just to pass the time, and others got to work on passion projects. You started out accepting an offer, right, for the Football Guys. I think it was the Football Guys, right?
So when I first started, Football Guys is more recent. So in terms of when I really started making content, so it was back in August. So back in August of last year, I was just a fan, right? I was just a fan. I really discovered fantasy Twitter in May of last year. It's because of the pandemic, right? That's how I even got really into the fantasy space. It started with like trying to get into the Scott Fishbowl and then just interacting with people on Twitter. But I never expected to be a writer or podcaster. The first place I started writing for in August was Dynasty Happy Hour, where Tyler reached out to me. He said that I tweeted something about CEH one time, and I guess it caught his attention. He's like, okay, this dude should be a writer. He was surprised I wasn't writing for anybody. And then when he reached out, I wasn't really trying to be a writer. I actually told my wife, I'm like, hey, you know, this guy asked me to be a writer. And she's the one who actually encouraged me to do it because I never thought of myself as a writer or anything like that. So I went back to him, like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. So then I started writing for Dynasty Happy Hour and I started meeting a bunch of people. And then from there, my friends, John Bauer, Mitch Sorensen, they actually reached out to me to be a co-host of Fantasy Football Confidential shortly after, maybe like a month, month and a half after I started writing for Dynasty Happy Hour. Because, you know, I started writing articles, people liked them, people liked me, and then it's kind of where I started. And then Football Guys, I think it's been since February of this year. And in between there, I've also wrote for Ball Blast Football. Ball Blast, I love those people. You know, they've treated me really well. I had a great time and experience there. But yeah, recently I've been with Football Guys. I plan on being with them for a while. So yeah, that's kind of a quick synopsis of my journey.
And that's amazing. I mean, you know, if I had told you a year ago, you know, as you said, when you discovered, a year ago was when you discovered Fantasy Twitter, that you'd be here with the sizable social media following that you have and quite the platform because of it, what would you have said?
Man, I would have called you a damn liar, right? Like if you told me if you were telling me that I was one doing this now, like potting frequently, like talking, like I talked to some like big names in the industry, like regularly, kind of like we're friends, like, and it's been, I'm so blessed and so humbled that I've gotten the opportunity to do that. But I never would have believed you a year ago if someone told me that. And it's just funny how life works, right? In terms of how literally things had to go a certain way for me to get to this spot, right? It's almost kind of like destiny. I still have a long way to go in terms of my goals, but just even if, let's say, I just stopped podcasting today, right? Stop writing and all that. I'm blessed to have done everything that I've done up until this point.
And hey, Matthew Berry follows you. How cool is that?
Man, it's pretty cool, right? So it's a quick thing about Matthew Berry. So first, so he actually shouted me out on a follow Friday, right? So someone must have recommended me to him about I was like a good follow. Then he shouted me out on a follow Friday and he started following me. And then he started just enjoying my content. Then I invited him to do a show. It was actually he was our first guest on our podcast, right? Like we've never had during the season, it was just like the four of us, me, Mitch, John, and Linda, but we never had a guest. So Matthew Berry is actually our first guest. So that's a pretty cool thing. That's one hell of a way to get started. And then after that, we had a great episode. And then I've actually been able to host two Clubhouse sessions with him, right? And like, you know, like, we ain't best friends and nothing, but the fact that he even wanted to come on the show and, you know, do the hosting with me in Clubhouse, it's talk about humbling and such an amazing opportunity. He's such, talk about down to earth and chill. Like, you know, everyone knows Matthew Berry, right? He doesn't need to be, you know, doing anything with me, but the fact that he wanted to or saw something in me where he wanted to take the time or follow me and support me, then that was huge and extremely humbling for me.
Yeah, I remember he was getting his start, when he was getting his start to really become the talented Mr. Morado, it was probably about 25 years ago, like mid-90s. And he would just, you know, do guest spots on different radio shows out here in LA, just trying to, you know, get 5 minutes to talk about fantasy. It was either baseball or football, it seemed like. And I just think it's hilarious. Not hilarious. I think it's wonderful to see his jump. And it's great. I'm always going to be a big fan. You know, you've talked so much about being genuine on social media. That was some of the really heartfelt advice that I really enjoyed that you gave me. And, you know, and to really get after it and create, post and post some more. And what has been the most fun part about creating the content that has helped you, you know, get to where you are today?
Honestly, some of the most fun part is that I'm not trying very hard, right? And what I mean by that is I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. So it's just me just extending my personality onto Twitter. So, and it's nice that people are receptive of it, right? Because what I put out on Twitter, whether it's a joke, whether it's a meme or whatever the case may be, this is just me being me and people like it, right? So that is obviously very reassuring and it's very motivating that, okay, like these people enjoy the things that I do. And I don't always tweet about fantasy. And that's what I encourage some people, right? Because a lot of people think that you have to act a certain way, be a certain way. You got to be a character in order to make it, or there's some kind of secret sauce in terms of making it in this industry or getting people to follow you. And that's one of the reasons I encourage people to be authentic and be genuine, because one of the things that I did, maybe my first two guest spots, is I was trying too hard to sound smart, right? I was trying way too hard to sound smart, where I'm like, okay, I'm in the fantasy industry now. I got to have all these stats. I got to, you know, be just like JJ or whatever. And then I learned quickly, this isn't me, right? If people are going to enjoy me and listen to me, I'm just going to talk football. That's the way I see it, right? I see every time I go on podcasts or talk to people is that I'm talking football. I don't care about, you know, you should use stats and numbers to support your argument. But the bottom line is you have to have some football knowledge, right? You have to have some basics of what's going on. And then I've realized that I'm smart enough or I'm confident enough where I can have that conversation. Every single day, I definitely try to improve in certain areas. But at the end of the day, if you're not having a good time doing what you're doing, then there's no point in doing it, right? Like right now, I'm not full-time in the industry. So if I'm going to be doing this, I have to have some enjoyment. And I like that people enjoy me. I enjoy meeting new people and interacting with them. So yeah, I'd say that's the most fun, just being in this space, getting to know so many people, getting to interact with so many people, and then just not feeling the pressure of trying to be something that I'm not.
How do you do the balancing act? I mean, with, you know, you got the day job, and then, you know, you're on podcasts multiple nights a week, and I know you're a dedicated husband and father.
So recently, it's something where I've had to learn to be a little bit more balanced, because especially when I first started, it was helpful where I would guest as much as possible, right? Like back in August, because I was just trying to get my name out there. Because at first, you know, my wife noticed I was guesting all the time, right? And then first, you know, obviously knew it was like a hobby, but at the end of the day, you want to get some traction. You want to get, you know, some momentum, right? Especially from her, like not really caring about fantasy. But then when I told her things like, oh, I was like on Yahoo. I was on Yahoo's podcast one time, right? And like, I'm talking to Matthew Barry. So when like I talk to, when I tell her things like that, like she didn't know Matthew Barry, all she knows is he worked for ESPN. So some of those things like helped her support me. And I wouldn't be able to do this without my wife and all the things that she does for, you know, taking care of the house. And, you know, like before I come on these pods, like I got to help out and make sure like everything's good to go in the house before I could jump on the pod, right? But I would say when I first started and I was really hustling, like I didn't have as much balance. I actually announced like, a little bit, probably like a month ago, that I was going to slow down, especially like even now, because I have a couple of different projects coming up where I'm going to have a podcast for football guys, right? I'm still one of the co-hosts of Fantasy Football Confidential. And I'm also going to be doing this comic book pod with my friends Laquan and Marcus G from the NFL Network. We're going to be actually doing like a comic book pod. It's not going to be like every week, but I'm right now focusing more on my projects. I'm still going to be guesting. I'm just limiting the guesting spots because, and also it's going to be easier for my family, right? Because I'll be able to do my things. I'll be guesting, but I'm going to be limiting maybe only a couple times a month versus like pretty much I was averaging like maybe like 3 to 5 guest spots a week, right? And there wasn't a lot of, you know, balance, but you know, when you're hustling, you want to hustle and you know, it's not something that you can keep up long term if you want to have a healthy balance. So right now I'm at least in a good place where I feel like I've built up a reputation. I've met a lot of people. I've said yes a lot, but now I'm going to be, I don't want to say the word selfish, but I'm going to start doing things more for me, focusing on my work. I'm not going to, you know, big time anybody and say no, but I'm going to make sure that if I guess in the future, it's going to fit my time as well.
Oh, well, I appreciate, you know, accepting la invitación for this one. So that was awesome. No. So, and you know, one of the things that has been great the past few years is kind of the diversity that's come to the fantasy football industry. We're two examples, you know, more women, minorities are getting on the scene, kind of creating their own shows, creating their own content. I've been inspired by seeing your rise, Laquan Jones, Lord Don't Lose. I think he's fantastic. And obviously the incredible work of our hermano, Robbie Johnson with the Rum Boys. I know for us, adding a Latin flavor was a big impetus for us starting Familia FFB. Plus, we just wanted a place to have family arguments. But how great is it to see this industry welcome people from so many different backgrounds?
Man, it's been extremely encouraging, right? Especially when I first started in August, like, I didn't see a lot of people looking at me, right? And then I slowly started getting to know content creators, especially women and minorities. It's been encouraging. And then just supporting them and them supporting me, it's just a different feel, right? Like, shout out to, you know, my white brethren as well. Like, I've met so many amazing people in the space, but at the same time, there's just something different when it comes to people that look like me or, you know, understand kind of different things about being a minority like you and I. Like, it's just not easy, especially when you don't see a lot of faces like that. I won't say it's discouraging, but it's definitely encouraging the movement that it seems, right? There's so many minority creators, and the way I see it is that iron sharpens iron, right? I just love supporting that. I just love being able, just the collaborations, sharing the content, and seeing my friends who happen to be minorities excel it's incredible. It's extremely motivating. And like, people like Robbie, LQ, and Lord Don't Lose, man, they keep me on my toes for real. Like, you understand, because they always hustling. You understand, because I sometimes, like, they will not let me be lazy. Because I look at my timeline, I'll see what they're doing. I'm like, man, it's like I wouldn't say healthy competition, because we're all in this together, but they make sure that I'm not sleeping for a while, right? Because they always hustling. They always hustling. They always putting out great content, right? It's never cheap. And I love those guys, and I'm so proud of them. And yeah, I love that you mentioned just all three, because like, all three of them I'm cool with. So especially their rise, I'm extremely proud of all of them.
I think one of the things that's just really cool is, you know, when we interact, when everybody of all backgrounds interacts and they find that common ground, and it's like, you know what? I think it's, oh my God, you know, he's Mexican. Oh, he likes football. He doesn't like soccer. You know, he doesn't like soccer best, or, you know, and there's that common ground. And then, you know, we all find that we're talking the same language. Maybe there's a little bit of a different twang or something like that, but really, you know, we're all probably unanimous that Christian McCaffrey is the number one running back and Patrick Mahomes is the number one quarterback, or it's something pretty close. But I love that. But yes, and I found that the first time I went into a newsroom when I was 18 years old, working for the LA Daily News out here as a freelance writer. It was just like, all they cared about, they didn't care about where I came from. They didn't care about they said, you like sports? You want to write about it? Hey, you got a home here. And that's what it feels like in this space. And with the people that you've introduced me to, that have been very welcoming and that have been networking. That's the thing that I think is fantastic. And I love the fact also that I've been introduced to people who are podcasting in Spanish, in Mexico and South America. And I got it. This is incredible. I played in a league. I got invited to play in a Scott Fishbowl inspired league. In the league I was in, there was one person from Brazil, people from Mexico. There was one guy in the Ukraine, and it was just like, and everybody, the only common ground was everybody spoke Spanish, but everybody was trash talking and sleeper in Spanish about fantasy football. It's fantastic.
I love a little healthy trash talk.
Oh God, yes. Oh, I can't. And yes, and there will be some fun trash talk when we play in that FC Eliminator League. So that's
don't worry, they definitely
sure. It's gonna be fun. Well, let's talk a little bit about fantasy. You know, what everybody talks about, like different analytics, different things that they follow. For you, what are some of the favorite analytics that you kind of like really swear by for running backs and receivers and tight ends?
Sure. So I would say that I'm not huge on advanced analytics. I use them to support it, but like the resources I use, right? I like to use RotoWire, RotoViz. I like to use Pro Football Reference, but in terms of when I'm looking at those, like I like breaking tackles for running backs. Mm-hmm. I think the rate in which they break tackles, I think, is extremely important. I think yards per carry is overrated. Like, you know, there's different variations of like yards per carry. Like, I can't think of the top of my head right now, but like you can like, there's variations of that stat that are helpful, but yards per carry itself, I don't believe. And also, you know, their receiving work, how many snaps are they, you know, how many routes are they running out of the backfield? Because, you know, in fantasy, I want my running back to catch. I want the running back to catch the ball. So obviously just basic receiving stats, that's important to me. Tight ends, for tight ends, it's really just how much are they on the field? Because with tight ends, it's such a volatile position. So the more they're on the field, even if they're just blocking, that's more, it's positive for me because it's still an opportunity where they can go out and, you know, catch passes, right? Because if you're not one of the top three or four tight ends, it's a crapshoot. So I'm looking at tight end, I want to see, you know, who's on the field the most. And wide receiver, you know, it's really like average depth of target. So like A dot's important, right? Mm-hmm. Because for the most part, if you have a shorter A dot, normally that means that, you know, you're more like a, I want to say safety blanket, but you're getting your targets closer to the line of scrimmage, right? Because if it's always long bombs, then it's going to be harder to connect for the QB and the wide receiver to connect if their A dot is extremely, you know, far, right? So if you have like a 15-yard, 20-yard A dot, you know, the chances of success of always catching that is lower, right? But if you look at people like wide receivers who happen to be like slot receivers, for example, and you play in PPR, they're most likely going to have a shorter A dot. So they're probably going to have more targets and the ball fed to them. So different variations of that are things that I look at in terms of fantasy football. But at the end of the day, I look at as basic things too, right? Like they're talented. What team are they on? What type of offense does that team run? You know, is it more run heavy? Is it more pass heavy? So things like that also are going to play a factor.
Yeah, I love, you know, it's funny, when I hear people getting really into the weeds on some of the crazy analytics, I do kind of like want to kind of rein things in and be like, okay, it's great to talk about the receivers that way. But I mean, to me, one of the things that I'm looking for, I want to see a guy who's getting at least 8 targets a game. Yeah. And that, you know, that's where, you know, the AJ Browns start to rise up, and the Devontae Adams and those guys, and please stay in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. Por favor, por favor. I got a candle lit for that one. Partly because I got a Rodgers jersey last year, so I don't want it to be vintage already.
I hope you're not the reason. You know, hopefully you didn't curse him. Well, no, but he had a good season last year, so I just can't blame you.
Well, yeah, it was mostly – I got his jersey, but it was mostly because Devontae was carried one of my teams just from the dead to – all the way to the championship. So lost the championship, but that was only because I was going up against Alvin Kamara on his Christmas Day game. So
that was
painful. That was painful. But okay, we're gonna try not to be so painful, because we touched on it. You're a big Dolphin fan, and one of these days over beers, I'll tell you a story about how I met Darius Rucker at Dodger Stadium before he sang the national anthem. So that's for another day. That's for another day, because that could take 10 minutes. But, you know, it seems like they've been trying to find a successor for Dan Marino. And as I told you, he's my all-time favorite quarterback. And this entire century, since he retired in 1999, have people been I didn't love the kind of like the way people turned on Tua last year after, you know, when he got pulled for a couple times. And it just seems like people were jumping off the Tua bandwagon so much. And did you feel like it was premature? And do you really feel like it was kind of fueled by Justin Herbert just lighting the world on fire, kind of the way Marino did back in 1983 in his own rookie season?
I think it – so everything you said, I think, is accurate, right, especially the Justin Herbert thing. Obviously, before the draft, there was rumors of – who are we going to take? Are we going to take Tua, or are we going to take Justin Herbert? So the fact that Justin Herbert was lighting it up, and Tua, you know, he had his moments, but obviously he didn't look like Justin Herbert. I think that put a lot of spotlight on him and reason a lot of people were criticizing him. And obviously it doesn't look good if you're getting pulled from games and then having Ryan Fitzpatrick essentially be the closer, right? That was obviously a really bad look on just him as – a quarterback. But at the same time, what people are ignoring are there's a couple different factors that played a part. Tua was throwing to guys like Jakeem Grant and like Matt Collins, yeah. Right? We had a lot of injuries. So it's not like he had like a starting, you know, of starting caliber wide receiver group, right? It was, you know, piecemeal. It was piecemeal wide receiver group. The offensive line, you know, they had their moments, but the majority of the line were rookies. So, you know, it's hard to, you know, rely on a rookie quarterback, a rookie offensive line. So that's something you also have to think about. And then the play calling was suspect. And a lot of times Tua didn't have to do much because, you know, our defense was the reason why we won a lot of games. Unfortunately, there were times where our offense stalled a bit, but Tua a lot of the times did enough in order to win. I believe he had like 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He had like 3 more rushing touchdowns, right? That's not bad for a rookie. And the problem is also as fans, we want instant gratification, right? You see someone in the top 5, people think you should be thrown in. You should look like Aaron Rodgers or you're a bust. And it's silly. And everyone knows, you know, about his hip injury, but he didn't have an off season. It's not like he started game one. So there's a couple of different things to look at. And I'm still extremely excited. And I've been on record saying, I don't see Tua as being like a huge fantasy quarterback, right? That's not how I see Tua. I think he's going to be a better real life quarterback than fantasy. I think he's most likely going to be something like a Kirk Cousins. He's going to be safer. I think he's going to be accurate. I think he's going to help our team win. But I don't see him lighting it up. Like, I don't see him just throwing for, like, over 300 yards a game with, like, 4 touchdowns. I just don't see him being that quarterback. And I don't think we need him to be that quarterback. I think our offense – and it's going to look different because we're going to have our co-offensive coordinators. You know, Chan Gailey's no longer our offensive coordinator. So I think we're going to be a little bit more pass-heavy. But – it's going to be a scenario where he's going to probably just throw to his guys and let them do their thing. So obviously we got Jalen Waddle. He's a yak monster. You know, just get him the ball in space and let him do his thing. You know, we obviously have Will Fuller. You know, he's going to be the downfield threat. He's going to help stretch the offense, stress the defense. And that's going to open up, you know, lanes for like Mike Gesicki, Devontae Parker. So there's a lot of things to be encouraged about going into the season. I think he's going to be a great value in your drafts, especially in super flex drafts. If I'm in a 1 QB league, especially like redraft coming up, I'm not really looking at Tua as a starter personally. I think he's more like a bye week fill-in. Right now, I currently have him as like my QB 20 or so, like in my rankings. And that's not because I don't like Tua as like, you know, a player. I just, again, I see him more taking that next step as an NFL quarterback. I just don't see him as a gunslinging fantasy option with, like, you know, the rushing floor that a lot of us are looking for. So,
yeah, I mean, I think one of the things with Tua that people are kind of that are jumping off the bandwagon, they're discounting the fact that I think a lot of times the greatest jump for a quarterback is from year one to year two. And again, to me, Marino was great. His rookie season, he started probably somewhere around game 7 or something like that. And he had a couple of 300 yard games, but it was in year 2 when he set the league on fire and was the first guy to throw for 5,000 yards. And you look at Mahomes and you look at Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson and those guys, and so many guys make that jump in year 2. So that's why I keep telling people to pump the brakes, you know, don't jump off the bandwagon, because I think this is the year that we want to see him jump. Plus, to me, I was also a big Steve Young fan, and yeah. When I see Tua throw that same tight spiral, that same range of motion, it really looks like Steve Young. And without the running, where I think Steve Young was trying to be Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick before it was fashionable. But yeah. I love the tight spiral that he threw. I'm pumped. I mean, the Dolphins have remained my number 2 team even after the Rams came back. So I'm gonna keep an eye on them. How about the backfield though? Miles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed. I don't think I asked you, you know, kind of what did you think of them passing by some of the running backs who were available in the second round?
Sure. So I think one of the things that have been kind of rumored, I don't know if it's been 100% confirmed, but we were told that, or at least what I've heard is that the Broncos sniped us, because the Broncos had the pick right before us, and they got Javonte. So that's honestly like all offseason I kept saying, like, if we don't take Najee in the first, we can take Javonte in the second. And I think we had that opportunity. So I don't know what would have happened if it was the Dolphins pick, Javonte was there. Would we have taken him or not? I think it would have been incredible if we did. And that's no disrespect to Myles Gaskin, right? Myles Gaskin, he did his thing last year. He wasn't expected to be the starter, but he had a workhorse role. He was always on the field, and he produced. He doesn't profile like a workhorse back, but he did everything that we pretty much could have asked him. The only thing he probably struggled with was goal line work, because he's sub 200, right? He's not the biggest guy. But besides that, he was fantastic. But I wanted us to get a bigger body back in order to complement Gaskin. I just think it just made sense. One thing we did do in the offseason, because you mentioned Salvin Ahmed, we did get Malcolm Brown. Malcolm Brown is a bigger body back. So I don't know if the plan is for him to, you know, be that Jordan Howard role and do short yardage and goal line. Maybe that's what we use Malcolm Brown for. I think that he would complement Gaskin well. And I know everyone's talking about Jared Doakes that we got, in the seventh round. He's a bigger body back. People, some of fancy Twitter is like, oh, he's going to be the starter, whatever. Maybe he'll pull a Myles Gaskin. I don't know about that. We'll see who he is in the depth chart. You know, there's some truthers out there. But I think it's still going to be the Gaskin show right now. And he's dodged so many bullets in terms of assigning a free agent. You know, there's Aaron Jones rumors and, you know, oh, we're maybe going to sign like a James Conner. But we didn't make any of those moves. I think they're very confident in Gaskin and his ability. So, he didn't do anything last year to lose the job. I mean, obviously, he was injured for a little bit, but I'm excited. I think the Dolphins and the playbook, I think, is going to be different. It's going to be opened up. I think he's still going to be very involved in the passing game. I just don't see him being on the field as much because we don't want to wear him down. I just think we see guys like Malcolm Brown, maybe Salvin Ahmed. But I'm excited. I think we have a solid backfield. And let's see how they're deployed this season.
You know, you mentioned Malcolm Brown. I see the Rams every week out here, and he did get a lot of goal line work. He stole some goal line touches early the last couple of years, even stole some from Todd Gurley in 2019. So that could be frustrating, but hopefully Gaskin has some, you know, plenty of games like he did against the Raiders where he was just all over the place and he was so much fun. I got a question about another South Florida product, Lamar Jackson. It seems like so many people are trashing the Raven offense. And from the smile on your face, I think we might be of like mind a little bit on this. Yes. You know, saying they don't pass enough, you know, and in the draft, they added Rashad Bateman, Tylan Wallace, and in free agency, they grabbed Sammy Watkins. It's kind of a chicken and the egg thing. You know, do you think it's possible that the Ravens didn't pass as much because they just concentrate on the run? Or maybe they were limited when you get past Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews, who were both actually limited by injuries at various points last year.
I think it was a scenario where it's both. I think at the end of the day, they want to be more of a running team. I think they open up the offense a bit. But think of it, like, look at his talent around him. Like you said, outside of Hollywood, you know, Hollywood's Hollywood. He's a smaller speed guy. But the problem was he's not a big body guy. And Mark Andrews is the target hog because he was one of the few big body wide receivers we had, like they had on the team. They brought Dez Bryant like into the starting lineup, right? That's how lacking they were at wide receiver help. You know, Miles Boykin hasn't done anything. Willie Snead, you know, he was serviceable, but he's not a receiver that you should be relying on in the offense. So he didn't have the talent in order to really, there's no point, right? They were so successful with the run. You're going to, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's one of the reasons why they ran so much. And unfortunately, the problem with the Ravens was that they were such a front-running team where they were designed just to run, run, run. And then when they needed to come back in games, they didn't have the personnel to throw it to, right? They didn't have the quality receivers to throw their way back into games. It was always a struggle. Anytime they got behind, it was like, hard to watch the Ravens try to come back in games. But I believe that Lamar Jackson doesn't get enough credit for being able to throw a ball and his talent. He just doesn't need to do that just because they're so successful running. But Rashad Bateman, I'm extremely high on. And he profiles as a real number one wide receiver. So I believe that, you know, he's still a rookie, though. So I think people are going to be expecting instant gratification. Like, you know, game one, Tylan Wallace and Rashad Bateman, they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to set the world on fire. It might take a few games for them to be successful. So we're probably going to have to wait on that. But I think ultimately we see a more pass-friendly offense, you know, and that's relative because I think there's going to be other teams in the league that are going to be passing more. But they, the Ravens, I believe, know that for the past couple seasons, they can't, they're going to be more run heavy, but they can't neglect the pass as much as they did in the past. So I think that's going to translate in this upcoming season. I believe that Rashad Bateman, especially in Dynasty, I've got him as many teams as I could. I'm extremely excited about his talent, and I just think that he's that big body receiver that they were needing. I was saying over the offseason, like, hey, like him or Terrace Marshall would be their targets, and they got Bateman. So it's nice to, you know, be right about that, and I think it's going to pay off.
Yeah, I think, you know, when people are saying, okay, who's going to be this year's Josh Allen? And I think people are naturally gravitating to like a Daniel Jones saying he's a guy because they had a guy. I keep telling people, I know he was MVP 2 years ago, but everybody was poo-pooing, you know, Lamar last year, but he still threw 26 touchdown passes in a down year. So I'm like, I could see him getting back up to 30 and maybe adding, you know, 500 yards passing, and maybe he doesn't hit 1,000 yards, but I don't think he needs to hit 1,000 yards to be, to be a stud. I'm 700 to 800. I'd love to see 700 to 800 with about 500 more yards passing and a few more touchdowns. That'd be fun. Any rookie sleepers that you're targeting for this year?
Sleepers.
Not even sleepers. I mean, non-rookies that you think, oh, I want this guy. I think this guy's going to make a jump, or this guy's really good.
Okay, so you want me to go rookies and not rookies?
Non-rookies.
Non-rookies.
Okay. Non-rookies, because we've had our fill of rookies for
No. So non-rookies, man, I got my eye on a couple people. I'm a big Gabriel Davis guy. Nice. So he's a UCF product. You know, it might be a little – they don't have John Brown anymore, so that's positive. I know they added Emmanuel Sanders, but Gabe Davis, he's about 6'3" or so. He's a bigger body guy. We saw flashes of him when Brown was out last year where he looked good. You know, he was a good red zone threat, you know, down the field. I just think that he's extremely talented. Now, granted, in redraft, like, he's going to be more like a wide receiver 3 or most likely, you know, that's probably going to be his max. He might have his games, but in Dynasty, that's the one you can get cheap. Cole Beasley, I don't see being on the team next year. His contract's going to be up. So he's still young. I think it might, who knows? It might be the Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs show. I just think he's extremely talented. In terms of any other sleepers that are not rookies, I would say, you know, people who are disrespected, right? So I don't know if he's a sleeper necessarily, but CEH had a down year last year.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who were like, you know, the problem with CEH, right, was that people were overhyping him, and he had a decent season. Like, he didn't have a bad season. It's just that people were drafting him as like a top five running back, and he didn't finish as a top five running back. So people, unfortunately, are fading him, or, you know, the offense is a more pass-heavy offense. You know, they didn't run the ball as much. And also he dealt with some injuries. But I believe that CEH is going to be a value coming up, and especially in Dynasty. Like, I think some people are catching on that, okay, you know, maybe coming back on the CEH train a bit. But I think that's somebody that's going to have a bounce-back season. And I think besides that, there's someone like Melvin Gordon. I think people are a little bit down on him because of Javonte Williams. They drafted him. But I think what happens is that when a team drafts rookies, they expect the rookie to like get like 100% of the workload day one. Melvin Gordon is still going to be very involved in the offense. And Melvin Gordon is one of those running backs that everyone always expects to regress or not get as many touchdowns or to, you know, always lose their job, but he always produces for fantasy. He's not very efficient, but he always produces for fantasies. He scores touchdowns. And if they're for dynasty, yeah, his value's going to be down. He's 28 years old and they just drafted a second round running back. But in like redraft, for example, I think he's going to be a value in draft as well, because maybe by the end of the season, you might see that switch from Melvin Gordon to Javonte. But at least for the first half of the season or so, I think Melvin Gordon is still going to be the guy in a much – I believe the Broncos offense is going to be much improved. You know, there's that Aaron Rodgers rumor. So, obviously, if he comes to town, you know, Melvin Gordon's value increases dramatically. So, yeah, I say those are a couple guys I was thinking about.
Yeah, well, I'm just hoping that Drew Lock takes a step forward and Aaron Rodgers stays put. So I think the league is more interesting when he's up there. You know, when I didn't put this in the show notes, what are kind of like two of the draft strategies that I really kind of started to look at for this year? One is definitely hammering tight end early. And the other one is kind of like a hybrid, you know, hybrid zero running back, get like one really good guy. Try and get one guy in the first couple rounds and then just hammer receiver about that. Anything that you're looking to employ this year, kind of looking forward to the redraft and maybe even some best ball strategies.
I would say that, man, in the past, my strategy, because one of my advice to most drafters, you have to be flexible in drafts, right? Because, mm-hmm. You know, people like zero RB, zero wide receiver, whatever the case may be, but you got to go with the flow of the draft, right? Because if you are so stuck on one strategy, then you're going to reach for players. You're not going to get value where you could get value. But my preferred method is to go running back early. I like to lock down stud running backs, right? I personally like to get, let's say it's one QB, right? I like to go running back in the first two rounds. And then for wide receivers, it's so deep that I normally like wait a little bit on my wide receiver. And in the past, I've been a streamer of tight ends, right? I've won championships just streaming tight end, but it can get really frustrating. I would like, and I normally don't like the way my teams look when I take a tight end early, but having that advantage of like a Kelce, Kittle, or Waller, I think it's just so huge where you can just place a tight end in that tight end spot and you don't have to worry about it. Superflex is a little bit different where I want a stud quarterback early, right? Like I just want to get my stud quarterback out of the way. And then maybe like in round four or so, I might get my second. So normally I'll go like quarterback, running back, a quarterback. And then I'll, you know, maybe I'll throw a tight end in there, but then I just load up on receiver. That's normally how I like to go about it.
No, that's, and you know what, definitely the Konami code quarterback is, you know, we touched on that. It's such a weapon, especially now that we're adding guys like, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. I don't know how much the latter two see the field this year, but I think keep those young men healthy and, learning. And, I think the league's going to be in a really good place. You know, one of the things, kind of non-football question here, and I love that you've been so open and honest about your own personal fitness journey. And I know, and it's great. And I love where it's come, where it's, you're one of the driving forces behind the hashtag, Fantasy Fit Club. the first rule of that, what is it? The first rule of FF.
Oh, Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club.
But this one you definitely talk about Fit Club. So I love fitness too. I like to get, 30 minutes of cardio every day. What for you keeps you motivated in your own fitness journey now that you've swung all the way to the positive side?
Yeah, I'll say what keeps me motivated is not going back to how unhealthy I was. So I lost like around like 80 pounds or so up to this point. So it's been incredible, but just also that feeling of just not being able to do anything, not having energy to do anything. But I would say my family, it's a combination of just being able to do things with my family, like go outside, run around, have fun, that's a motivator. and just myself, like just looking at the mirror every day, like I want to love the person that I see in the mirror. So when I was bigger and I wasn't healthy, I wasn't happy. I didn't like what I see. You know, like every day I still got to improve. Like I have goals. I'm very, very happy compared to where I was, but I think that's what it is. And I just wanted to be the best version I can be. I'm very competitive. And I think like sky's the limit in terms of my fitness goal, like where I can be. So I think it's a combination of that just keeps me motivated. Like I want to be the best in a way in terms of just the way I feel, the way I look, things like that. So a combination of all that is, it motivates me for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. You know what? It's, you know, we both have kids wanting to dance at their weddings, wanting to hold grandchildren. And, you know, my family has had some, my parents and grandparents had some health issues that I want to avoid. So definitely, hey, you know what? I love that you're motivating others. Some definitely have some big challenges that are happening. So, you know, I love it. Love it. So I know part of, fitness journey is nutrition and taking care of yourself. So there are times when you're going to let yourself kind of cheat a little bit and, you know, give yourself a little bit of reward. And this being the Familia FFB podcast, I love to ask our invitados, our guests, what are your favorite taco types? And since we're ranking, since we love to rank things, you want to give me your top three?
The top three tacos, like in terms like what I like in them, shells.
What you like in them? What you like in them?
What I like in them. So I'm a chicken guy. So normally I always have chicken tacos. I have so many things. I like to have like salsa, cheese, sour cream. Oh man, I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. Lettuce. I wouldn't say beans. Sometimes, depending on the place, rice. You know, sometimes people put rice in the taco. So I'll say those are probably the staples of what I like. Oh, like onions, like fajita vegetables, things like that. Like, I think that's a good. I'm getting hungry just talking about it. But yeah.
It is Taco Tuesday here, so we're gonna have a variation of that, a healthy variation. So we'll do that. I know. How about any other Mexican foods that you like? I know South Florida gets a lot of you get a lot of the Cubano, but I'm sure there's some Mexican food that sneaks in around there.
I like burritos. I like burritos a lot. Yeah, I'm a taco burrito guy. I would say in terms of just the basics, those are my go-tos. I try not to have them too often, but I would say either or. I chimichanga is a good too.
Oh man, oh,
I love a good chimmy.
Hey, you know what? Hopefully there's some fantasy stuff that brings you out to LA. We'll check out some taco trucks because this is the hub. I don't eat a lot of meat, but when I do, I save it for my tacos, and that's a lot.
Man,
of
I would love to go. I would love to come to LA, you know, sometime soon. So that would be a blast. We definitely would have to make that happen for sure.
Oh man, that's why I love this coast to coast. That's why I love, you know. Thank you, StreamYard. Thank you, YouTube, for making this possible and making sure we're able to get connected and put this out on our podcast network. Kind of the last question for the day. I know you're still getting started in the fantasy football industry. I mean, obviously we hear from people like Matthew Berry and Pat Fitzmaurice, Andy Behrens, people who've been doing it for a long time. And you're even branching out. You mentioned the different podcasts that you're doing. I love the one that you're doing with LQ and Marcus G. I mean, I could listen to Marcus all day long, talk about anything. What does the next season have in store for Troy King?
So next season, I'm actually pretty excited about it in terms of rankings. So this would be the first time I'm doing like official, like public rankings. Like I've always done like the personal rankings for myself just to kind of have an idea of where I see guys. But now like putting out because I'm going to be doing rankings for football guys. So you can actually see my rankings now. So you can see like for like PPR, non-PPR, I got quarterback, wide receiver, running back, tight end. Obviously, it's early. I'm going to be updating them fairly frequently because especially with rankings, you got to be flexible, right? Like, for me, so many things can change. The way I feel about a player today could drastically change tomorrow, depending on, you know, what happens. Or maybe I just look into a stat more, look into a situation more, and I want to move a guy up or down. So I'm very excited about the rankings. And obviously, on Football Guys, there's Pat Fitzmaurice, there's Sigmund Bloom, there's some OGs, there's Matt Wallman, like there's some OGs that are on staff. And I want to make sure, like, and the way I see my rankings, right? Like, and I also like look at consensus, because mine's not exactly what consensus. I have guys up or down. I just don't want to have somebody that's like 30 spots higher, 30 spots lower than consensus. Then maybe I'm doing something wrong. Like, all right, like that's a huge difference. So I also want to make sure, like, okay, I'm not too crazy on somebody. If I, because normally if you're that much of a discrepancy, either you're hot takey or you're missing something. So I try not to be too, but normally my guys, I have a range of like maybe 10, 15 spots on some people, but I'm really excited about rankings. And also just, you know, podding on this, really just my podcast, man. So I'm doing a mailbag show with Dave Kluge for Football Guys. We're really excited about it. The first episode is going to be tomorrow, right before I do Fantasy Football Confidential. So that, we'll see how it goes in the off season. You know, we're going to be doing a couple of episodes just to make sure people enjoy it, people are liking the content. So if that's successful, that'll be going into the season. We'll be answering viewers' questions in season as well. Fantasy Football Confidential, that's not going anywhere. Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So during the off season, it's every other week. During the season, it's going to be every week. So that's my home base. Fantasy Football Confidential, that's my baby. Like, you know, those people like family to me. So that's not going anywhere. And then the comic book podcast, that's coming this Thursday. So it's going to be the first episodes this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. So I'm very excited. I believe it's going to be probably bi-weekly, but I'm excited to break down the Marvel superheroes. We're going to be talking about tiers in terms of like where we rank the heroes and villains. So it's going to be like a bracket. So first we're doing the tiers. And then we're going to be doing a bracket, right? So we're going to match up, you know, the heroes or villains based off whatever tier we put them in on Thursday's show. So it's very exciting. And I wasn't expecting to do any of this, but I'm very excited about all these opportunities I'm getting. And we'll see what happens after that.
Hey, you just roll with it. And that's what's awesome. I can't wait for the rankings. My daughters, I got into Marvel first and got them into it. And I think we've seen almost all of the movies, and we've watched them bits and pieces, but now there are a couple that we've missed. So we're like, okay, let's just see them all in order over the summer. Now that when we're out of school and regular life will return, but hey, you know what? It doesn't hurt to do a movie night with the family once or twice a week. So awesome.
It's funny you said that, 'cause I did all the Marvel movies from order. So in terms of not like the release date, but like chronological order. Oh. So I just finished Endgame like a couple of days ago. It was so fun. Like I highly recommend doing that.
Yeah, I know we started with the original Captain America, and then there were a couple that we fell off, and we're like, okay. And then we just started jumping around. That's why we're going to be like, okay, we're going to start with each one of these, and it's going to be, love it. Love it. Troy, this has been beyond a pleasure. Tell us where else they can find you. You feel free to share your Twitter.
Sure. Hey, you guys, you can find me at T King Mode on Twitter. I'm on like Instagram, and I'm on TikTok too. I don't really do much fancy stuff on Insta. TikTok, I'm trying to do more. I'm trying to be more active on there. But my home base is Twitter, so y'all can find all my content there. You can find my content on the Football Guys. I've been doing a lot of collaborative articles with other staffers, so you can see my contributions through Football Guys. And you can find my podcast on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Fantasy Football Confidential. And, I didn't say the name. So Superpower Beatdown is the name of the comic book pod. So that's going to be on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're still deciding, like, how often we're going to do it. It's most likely going to be bi-weekly. But, yeah, and Jorge, thank you so much for inviting me on the podcast, man. It's been such a dope time and such a cool conversation.
Oh, and thank you for being the maiden voyage on our YouTube channel. So I'm looking forward to seeing more. You know, hopefully as we get closer to the season, we could have you back on, maybe have some other people that you've introduced. I'm going to be rifling through several new friends who are and get some different opinions on here, and just and then obviously keep arguing with my primos, talking about football like we're, you know, around the dinner table at Christmas. But everybody, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network on the podcast side, and to YouTube for being our host for the video side for our independent podcast. To get out into the Familia community, please make sure to subscribe wherever you get you want to consume your podcast. Please hit subscribe here on the Familia FFB YouTube page. And you can find original content, mostly mine, at FamiliaFFB.com. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB. You can find me at JorgeMartin17 and our Familia FFB Facebook page. Troy, otra vez, gracias. Gracias. So appreciate it. And everybody, remember, todos somos familia.